The developer tooling space has a few stories today that are worth examining together. Herder is a new terminal-based agent multiplexer. It lets you run multiple AI coding agents simultaneously from a single terminal interface, managing their contexts, outputs, and interactions. The HN comments are mostly early adopters, comparing it to TMUX-based workflows and asking about integration with specific agent frameworks. The GitHub project is from Ogulchan Chelik, and it's brand new, so the tooling is rough, but the underlying concept is sound. As AI coding agents become a standard part of developer workflow, you need infrastructure to manage multiple agents the way you currently manage multiple terminal sessions.
The OpenAI Codex file exclusion issue is more concerning from a security standpoint. There's an open GitHub issue, number 2847, that has been sitting unresolved for an extended period, requesting the ability to exclude sensitive files from Codex's context. The problem is that Codex, when running in certain configurations, may include files that developers explicitly don't want passed to an external AI service, things like environment files, credential stores, or proprietary configuration. The issue has over 200 comments and 211 upvotes on HN, suggesting this is hitting real workflows. The fact that it's still open is the news.
Token maxing, the practice of optimizing prompts to squeeze maximum useful output within token limits, has an interesting essay today arguing the technique is both dead and more alive than ever. The argument is that as context windows have expanded dramatically over the past year, the specific micro-optimizations of early token maxing are less necessary. But the underlying discipline of thinking carefully about what information you put in an AI's context and how you structure it remains essential, especially in agentic workflows where context accumulates across many steps.
Xanagrams is a Show HN project, a word puzzle game where players construct words from letter sets, but with a twist I won't spoil. It generated 301 upvotes and 73 comments, which is unusually strong engagement for a word game. The HN community tends to be fond of well-crafted word games, and the comments suggest the mechanics are clever enough to generate genuine discussion about optimal strategy.
Halvar Flake's Guide to Entrepreneurship is short, but it's worth mentioning because Thomas Dullion, who goes by Halvar Flake, is a respected figure in the reverse engineering and security community. His entrepreneurship advice is grounded in that specific technical domain. How to build a company around deep technical expertise. Why the skills that make you an excellent researcher aren't the same skills that make you an effective founder. And how to navigate that gap. The HN community tends to treat this kind of practitioner-written advice with more credibility than generic startup content, and rightly so.
And Masayoshi Sun's presentation style, the Bloomberg piece from 2020, resurfaced today. Sun's presentations feature charts with trajectories extending 300 years into the future, diagrams comparing himself to Napoleon, and investment theses based on what he describes as intuition about which companies will achieve singularity. The HN discussion is partly about SoftBank's Vision Fund track record, which is mixed at best, and partly about the broader question of whether Sun is a genuine visionary who happens to express ideas in unusual ways, or whether the presentation style is itself a kind of rhetorical technique for bypassing rigorous analysis.
Now I want to spend the second half of this segment on something I think is worth doing seriously. Today's episode has featured a fairly confident claim from the HN community and from us that GLM 5.2 beating Claude on SemGrep's benchmark tells us something meaningful about the state of Chinese AI development relative to frontier Western models. Let's actually pressure test that.
Good, because I think there are some assumptions baked into our earlier analysis that deserve scrutiny. The confident claim is, Chinese AI labs are closing the capability gap with Western frontier models through targeted domain optimization and knowledge distillation. The corollary is that Jipu AI's success on security benchmarks is evidence of a broader competitive narrowing.
Here's the strongest counter-argument. Benchmark performance in a specific domain tells you almost nothing about general capability trajectories. SemGrep's Mythos benchmark is designed by a company whose core product is code analysis. It's possible, even likely that Jipu specifically optimized GLM 5.2 for code analysis-style reasoning tasks because that's a commercial opportunity they identified, not because they've made broad advances in model capability. If you tested GLM 5.2 on medical reasoning, legal analysis, or creative synthesis, you might find a very different picture. We simply don't have that data.
The second assumption worth challenging is about knowledge distillation as a capability equalizer. The 2024 paper we mentioned describes black box distillation techniques that worked well in 2024. But Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google have not stood still. They've implemented output filtering, rate limiting, and behavior policies specifically designed to limit the exploitability of distillation. The distillation gap may be smaller than it appears if the techniques that worked 2 years ago are less effective today.
And the third assumption is about what beating Claude means as a fact. Claude is a family of models with multiple versions, and Anthropic releases updates continuously. Beating Claude on a benchmark run in June 2026 tells you about the specific model version tested on the specific evaluation day. Benchmark comparisons between rapidly updated models have a very short shelf life, often measured in weeks.
So what would we watch for to know if we're wrong? If GLM 5.2 posts competitive results on genuinely diverse benchmarks, not just ones designed by companies with security-focused products, that would be stronger evidence of broad capability gains. If Chinese AI labs start appearing in academic collaboration networks that typically require frontier-level capability, that would be another signal. And if you see major Western enterprise customers quietly adopting Chinese models for production workloads, that's probably the most honest market signal of all.
The deeper epistemic issue is that we're reasoning about AI model capabilities from public benchmark results, which are exactly the metrics that organizations have the strongest incentive to optimize for presentation rather than substance. Treat all benchmark claims from any lab in any country with proportional skepticism relative to how narrowly defined the evaluation is.